You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Alexa Dadd, and today we are talking Phillies baseball. We bring in our Phillies reporter for MLB.com, Todd Zielecki. Todd, Phillies are still looking to add to their rotation for this season. Because of the way the market has gone, are they ruling out the top names like Jake Arrieta and Yu Darvish, or would it make sense to still kind of stay in the race?
Yeah, I think they're kind of checking in on those guys, not just Arrieta and Darvish, but, you know, Alex Cobb, Lance Lynn, you know, those types of guys. But my sense of the situation is that the Phillies just are not going to budge in terms of, you know, hey, say Alex Cobb wants a four-year contract. Let's just give it to him and move on. I don't think the Phillies are there yet, and they're certainly not there on a six-year deal, five, six, seven-year deal for Darvish or Arrieta. What I think is going to happen is they're going to continue to monitor those markets. If somehow Jake Arrieta says, hey, you know, I'll take a three-year deal, then yeah, the Phillies will be all in. But of course, if Jake Arrieta wants a three-year deal, it's more likely he goes back to the Cubs or to another contending team rather than signing with the Phillies. So I think the Phillies are still more likely to find a pitcher on a one-year deal. They've done that the past few seasons with Jeremy Hellickson and Clay Buchholz, Charlie Morton. Maybe a little bit of an upgrade compared to those guys. Someone that they actually think is a definite upgrade to what they are currently bringing into camp. But I would be surprised if they ended up kind of just throwing their plan away at the last minute and kind of succumbing to pressure to sign a starter that they might not be comfortable signing.
Sure. Let's say they are comfortable signing somebody, or let's say they see somebody out there that they really want to go get, and, you know, a trade could work out for them in their favor. Who would they be willing to part with if they could pull off the trade?
You know, that also is interesting. The other week, there were some big trades going on in baseball. You know, the Brewers made a big trade a couple weeks ago. Actually, it might have been last week. And, you know, they gave up some top prospects for Christian Yelich. And, if the right pitcher came along, like a true ace pitcher, I think the Phillies would consider maybe, you know, going in on that. But, again, I think the Phillies' philosophy is, you know, they're not one piece away from being a contending team. And while it would be great to get a young, controllable starting pitcher for the next three, four, five seasons, I think they understand that you can go out and get a young, controllable starting pitcher, you know, at the trade deadline. You can get one in next offseason or even the season after that. You know, Phillies fans certainly remember, you know, when the Phillies really needed starting pitching, they got Cliff Lee in July of 2009. They got Roy Halladay in December of 2009. You know, they got Roy Oswalt in July of 2010, and then they re-signed Cliff Lee in December of 2010. So you can always find starting pitching. I think the Phillies prefer to see, like, all right, let's see how all this plays out. Let's see if the young position players do well. Let's see if the young starting pitchers can kind of maybe take a step forward. And then if we, at some point, maybe it's in July, maybe they surprise people and the Phillies are, like, you know, a few games out of the wild card race in July. Well, then I think they're going to be more comfortable going out and maybe trading a Scott Kingery or a Mickey Moniak and Adam Haseley for a young controllable starting pitcher.
All right. So you mentioned next offseason, and that's kind of what they're gearing up for, to make a run at a lot of these free agents, because next year's free agent class is going to be pretty stacked. Who do you think they're more likely to land? Manny Machado, Bryce Harper, or both?
Yeah, I guess I would say Manny Machado, only because it seems like they have more of a need on the left side of the infield. You know, J.P. Crawford showed he could play some third base, so that's a possibility. You know, Manny's going to play some shortstop this year for the Orioles. So if Manny Machado wants to play shortstop, they at least have the option of moving J.P. Crawford over from short to third. Of course, that's assuming that, you know, Michael Franco doesn't turn things around this season. It's a big year for him. So just basically, purely based on organizational depth, it seems that they could use Manny Machado more. You know, the Phillies go into the season with four outfielders, you know, Rhys Hoskins, Odubel Herrera, Nick Williams, and Aaron Altherr. All four of those guys have a lot of potential. All four of them have produced at the big league level to certain degrees. So I guess there is a scenario that could pop up where, you know, Rhys Hoskins becomes just a stud, you know, power hitting corner outfielder, and then, you know, some combination of Williams, Altair, and Herrera look like all-star caliber outfielders as well. And then you sit there and go, well, you know, do we want to give Bryce Harper $300 million when we could throw it to Manny Machado? So I think that's a scenario that could happen. But I will say, as you mentioned both, the Phillies have enough financial flexibility that, you know, if they feel that they need both, it wouldn't totally surprise me if they made a run at both of those players. I know it would cost a boatload of money. We're probably talking like over $500 million in contract commitments, but I think the Phillies have enough flexibility where theoretically they could make something like that happen.
You mentioned Michael Franco. How much is the organization hoping that he turns it around? How much do you see him actually being able to turn it around this season?
Yeah, well, they are really keeping their fingers crossed. They've mentioned a few times that he's been kind of joined at the hip or talking regularly with Carlos Santana since Santana signed with the Phillies in late December, hoping that maybe some of Santana's offensive, you know, tendencies at the plate can maybe rub off on Michael Franco. You know, Santana's a big on-base percentage guy, works the count well. Michael Franco, more of a free swinger, certainly last season, doesn't really walk that much, isn't really that patient at the plate. So they're hoping that he can bounce back, you know, and kind of show some of that promise that he had two, three seasons ago when he came up as a rookie for the Phillies. You know, the chances of him doing it, based on the numbers, he's been in a decline over the last 3 years. It would surprise me if all of a sudden he blossomed into an all-star caliber third baseman. But it has happened before. And, you know, hey, again, maybe if he makes enough progress this season, the Phillies will feel comfortable enough with him at third base that they say, okay, now maybe we sink some more resources into pursuing Bryce Harper, or, you know, Bryce Harper and a potential ace starting pitcher. So, you know, if Michael Franco can just handle himself well enough, it'll give the Phillies more options in the offseason.
Hey, Todd, since we last talked, the team signed Francisco Rodriguez to a minor league deal with an invite to spring training, and we know his history in the game, both on the field and off. What's the upside here for the Phillies?
I think the upside is that it's basically no risk, high reward. He didn't pitch well last year. You look at the numbers, they were really bad with the Tigers, and then he signed with the Nationals and didn't even make it to big leagues with the Nationals. So they signed him to a minor league deal. If he comes to camp and can't get anybody out, then they release him, or, you know, and they move on. You know, so it's not like they signed him to a guaranteed $2 million deal, and boy, they really need to have him to pan out. Otherwise, they just blew some money. But if he does somehow recapture some of that magic from a couple seasons ago and pitch pretty effectively, now they have one more weapon in their bullpen. So I really don't see a downside to it. You know, I think if he causes any sort of problem or can't get anybody out, you know, then again, the Phillies can just move on from that situation, and it really costs them nothing to give it a shot.
I got a lot of Phillies fans who are constantly asking me on Twitter, when is this team going to be ready to compete? And I said, well, I have a podcast with Todd, so I'll ask him that exact question. Can you answer this question for fans the best of your ability as of right now?
I mean, I think if I had to put money on it, you know, when the Phillies will be serious contenders, I actually think next season they should be serious contenders. And I'm not saying necessarily the NL East championship, but I think they should very much in 2019 be serious contenders for a wild card spot. But, you know, that timetable could actually be sped up this season. You know, the Phillies were 37-38 after the All-Star break last year, with, you know, Jared Eichhoff being hurt, with Vince Velasquez being hurt, with some young pitchers that were really struggling down the stretch. So, you know, if the position players do what they did last season or even make some incremental improvements, and if some of these starters, Eichhoff, Velasquez, Nick Pivetta, if just two or three of those guys just pitch competently, you know, like six innings, three earned runs, you know, every 5 days, they actually could kind of be on the outside of that in a wild card race. So, I mean, it would not totally stun me if the Phillies did in 2018 what the Twins did last year, what the Brewers did last year. But I do think, again, if I had to put – a paycheck on it, I would say 2019 is a safer bet.
Man, it's a good time to be a Philadelphia sports fan right now, I'm telling you. You guys better enjoy it while it lasts, because you could be a Washington area fan and really just be kicking yourselves. But the fact that you got the Sixers, the Eagles, and the Phillies all in the come up is pretty cool. What are your plans for the Super Bowl, by the way, Todd? Just staying out of the way?
Yeah, I'm just going to stay out of the way. I live in Center City, so my wife is a huge Eagles fan. I'm from Wisconsin. I'm a Packers fan, so my wife is just kind of like, she just wants to be able to concentrate on the TV. So I actually just, it might be me, her, our son. We might run over the neighbors for a little bit, but I think it's just going to kind of be us, really small group. That way she can let loose, and if the Eagles somehow win, I think maybe find somebody to watch our son and wander around the city a little bit and enjoy the festivities.
Yeah, that should be a lot of fun for sure. Just stay away from those Criscoed poles, and I think you should be fine. All right, Todd, thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it. That's going to do it for us here on MLB.com Extras, our Phillies edition. We will be back next week with a brand new episode, so stay tuned for that. Thanks, Todd. Appreciate it.
Thanks.